1, 2, 3, 4. You got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it. You got it.
When you wake up in the morning, you listen to your radio. You hear the sound rising higher, 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 and higher like this.
Hello, everybody. Nice seeing you again. Welcome to Sportsy Talk on WFMU.
Oui.
Yeah, that's some French disco, which, I don't know. I like disco for like the first minute and a half, and then I get kind of tired of it.
Well, it's, I mean, the whole idea is that you dance, dance, dance all night to it, right?
I guess. I like how you dance.
With the
that's
French,
good.
Do French people dance with like a baguette? They're just pointing
a
baguette.
They point the baguette back and forth. They wear pince-nez. They have berets. You know, sometimes they carry an artist palette with like a little brush and some paint while they
dance. Do the mime moves.
They do the mime moves.
Like you're in
perfect.
A box or you're
pulling
somebody.
A rope. Yeah, absolutely.
Those are classic.
Yeah, that's French disco for you. Okay, we want to start with a special opening. Devoted to our podcast listeners today.
We have a podcast.
We have a podcast and we have a podcast listener, which, I mean, I don't think we knew that we had a podcast for a long time, and I don't know that we have more than one podcast listener. If you're a podcast listener, please let us know by emailing us at WFMU. But we do have one that I know of, and this is for her. Our podcast listener is... the CEO of the Bronwyn C. Make-A-Wish Foundation, Ms. Laura Hill.
Yay!
And she says that she listens to our podcast because the Sportsy Talk podcast puts her right to sleep. She puts it on every night, and she lies down, and within seconds, she's just out. She's probably asleep right now. She probably didn't even get to hear her own name because... As soon as I said, hello, everybody, nice seeing you again,
she's
down, yeah. It's like a hypnotic trance. So this is a lullaby for Laura. This is Kanye West's Heartless, done as a lullaby by the Rockabye Baby people. There. Isn't that nice?
Sleep to sporty talk, sleep to sporty talk,
sleep, 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 sleep.
Now you're sleeping, sleeping.
Laura Hill.
Don't sleep if you're behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay, right. Well, okay, here, I'll put on the fireworks.
Come back.
Yeah.
Come back to us if you're
driving.
Yeah,
no, I don't want people driving to, like, be falling asleep. There you go. Somebody's shooting at you.
I think that's fireworks.
That's fireworks in honor of Jason Pierre-Paul blowing off his hand. I was watching the updates. They said, "Oh, they're going to have to amputate. Oh, they're not going to have to amputate." You know,
well, that'd be cooler if he was like a football player with like a hook.
Oh yeah,
wouldn't
it?
He would just like spear you right through the heart or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so Jason Pierre-Paul lives in South Florida, so right there, you know, you're in trouble, right? Because that's the Florida thing
just
going
him
on
and
right
gators.
There. Yeah, him and the alligators. Did you see that guy that went swimming with the where it says "Do not swim" alligators?
He was dead instantly.
And he jumped in, and like within seconds, the alligators ate him.
Someone was like, "Look, man, the sign says there's alligators in there," and he goes,
"I'm not afraid of no alligator."
Forget that alligator. And he goes in, and he's immediately like seconds afterwards is
he's
devoured.
Chomped. Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
The 4th of July weeds out a lot of people who Darwin would say is the weakest of the bunch.
Yeah, and South Florida does too, apparently.
Florida in general.
Florida is just where you
it's
go
some
to
kind of social
be
experiment.
An idiot. Yeah, it is. So Jason Pierre-Paul rented a U-Haul, filled it full of fireworks, brought it to his house.
A U-Haul?
He rented a U-Haul. There's pictures online of his U-Haul full of fireworks. He rented a van, a U-Haul van, and packed it full of boxes.
And he pulled up in front of my house and put them off for like 6 or 7 hours the other day.
Oh, did he?
Like, how do poor people afford all these? And now Jason Pierre-Paul has millions.
He's
but, like,
not poor.
Everybody in my neighborhood's broke, so how do you have
Jason Pierre-Paul has millions. Couldn't he just like hire some pyrotechnic guys to do a show for him?
But it's not as much fun. It's like having someone grill for you or something like that. I mean, you like to light it and, you know, watch it burn.
Yeah,
and then,
light fuse and get away.
Or like light them and
that's what they always
launch
say.
Roman candles at people and stuff like that.
Oh, when I was in Florida, we were visiting Sluggo's grandparents for their 75th wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And his thug brother, who's a pyro, and I, who am a pyro, and Sean and his brother, and we got Roman candles, and we were shooting them at a transformer, like a electrical transformer on a pole. Because we figured if we hit it just right, the whole thing would go up.
And then the lights would go out everywhere.
Yeah, for everybody in Florida.
That'd be awesome.
Great. Yeah, right? So we were, it was in kind of a semi-deserted industrial park, and then the police came, and we had to run away.
Ralphine is mentioning, how about blowing up like Devin Staples' head? Who's Devin Staples?
Is he the guy that put the mortar on his head?
Well, how do we know who that guy's name is? Because, I mean,
I don't know.
Listener
Ralphine knows everything.
Oh.
Listener Ralphine says that the guy who put the mortar on his head is named Devin Staples, and I'm sure his name is Devin Staples.
I mean, that's possible. That was like somebody was like,
likely.
Hey, I'm going to light a firework, and then I'm going to launch it off
a
my
mortar,
head like I'm a unicorn.
Mortar.
And then
a mortar. Like, those things are
dead.
Big. Did you see that government video? I couldn't stop laughing with the one with the styrofoam heads.
There's a styrofoam head one too.
Yeah, there's a government video of you know why you should beware of fireworks, and it's just a bunch of mannequins made out of styrofoam. Like they're so ghetto. These mannequins are so sad, you know, and then. They have him, like, they have a mannequin, he's posed, okay, he's got a styrofoam head, but then he's got, like, arms made out of, like, a couch or something, like, some material off somebody's couch and stuff, that is just sad, right? And he's bending over a mortar, and, like, he's looking in to see why it didn't go off, and then the mortar goes off, and his head explodes, and his neck stump goes on fire.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
Well, this guy used to perform at Disney World, the guy who died.
Yeah? What, he used to do this for a living? He used to put mortars on his head?
No, the guy who died like is one of those people who dresses up, but he doesn't have like an outfit. He dresses up as the Beauty and the Beast character, Gaston. Is that the...
That's the prince.
He's all Mr. Handsome looking.
Yeah. Oh, he's
so
a handsome guy.
So he's got
guy.
Good hair and stuff like that. So now he's dead. He was 22.
So he's good looking but dumb?
Yeah, I mean, I assume... I mean, lots of crazy things happen
just
in Maine.
Just because he worked in at Disney World doesn't. I mean,
but why? I mean, he looks pretty buff and handsome.
Yeah, but why would he put a mortar on his head?
I don't know. You're in Maine, and maybe
he was in Maine. He wasn't in Florida.
You've had a little Moxie to drink.
I just assumed everybody was.
I love Moxie.
I've never had Moxie.
Oh, I should get you one because I got
What's
them being delivered.
Like?
You know, I got like my brother gave me like an Amazon card for my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I have like a case of like sugar, actual real sugar Moxie being delivered to my home this week. So
what,
I'll bring one in
for
you.
What does it taste like?
It tastes like if you drink a Coke and then sneeze it out your nose. That's what
Great.
It tastes like.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
After drinking about 100 of them, you get kind of used to it and you kind of like it.
Oh, okay.
But it's got a nasty aftertaste.
You got to get used to it? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty. Uh-huh. I haven't had the sugar ones. This is like a real.
Is this the same brother who gave us the tickets?
Different brother. Yeah, we went to the Yankee game on the 4th of July.
On the 4th of July. That was so fun. Thank you for taking me.
Oh, that was great. Really nice. I had a great time.
I had the best time ever. I had never sat in the bleachers before.
I thought we had pretty good seats.
They were good. I really liked it.
I think it would have been worse if we were like in the front row of the bleachers.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been like if we were up a few rows and had to look over people, I think it would be. But like we were in, there was like a bunch of grass in front of us and like a potted thing. And then,
and then
as we
right
looked down,
that.
We could yell at the Tampa Bay Rays as they were warming up and stuff like that.
Yeah, in their bullpen. So, right above their bullpen.
But actually, I wanted to give a shout out to, I think his name's Steve Geltz or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave, there were these little kids who were begging for balls and none of those Rays. All those guys pretended they didn't speak English or whatever. And this guy was like, okay, I'll give you a ball, little kid. And so he throws a ball up, and there's like this little girl and this little boy, and little boy gets it. And the little girl was like, oh, I didn't get it. And then he like searched around for like, you know, a half a minute and found another one and threw it up to the little girl. I thought
that was
real nice.
Yeah, that was real nice.
So I'm going to write him a little note.
Okay.
Dear Steve Geltz, you're okay in my book.
Write it from your Sportsy Talk email so that it's
official. I was going to like write a real letter.
Oh, a real letter?
Yeah, yeah.
We need Sportsy Talk stationery then.
Oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, with our
that
pictures.
Could be our giveaway next year.
Our pictures
and what were we going to give away? We decided what we were going to give away at Yankee Stadium.
What? Oh, should we tell people?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, well, see, I'm obsessed with the penny crusher machine. So the first thing we did when we got into the stadium was I took my pennies and ran over and made a crush penny.
So you put like a penny
me.
And you put like a buck's worth of
Do
quarters,
Do people not
right?
know what they are?
Yeah.
You set up like the die and then you crank it and it crushes the penny and impresses a picture on the penny.
Because pennies aren't worth much anymore, but like it's nice metal.
Yeah, it's shiny.
It's shiny.
If you get shiny ones.
And so we got like, it looks like the...
It's like the Empire State Building, and it says Yankees, and it has stars
cool.
on either
it
side of it.
Awesome.
So we got two of those. So one for you, one for me.
But
we're
thinking of making that next year's marathon. If we can afford to get one of those machines.
Well, I think what we ought to do is, I have to write to the Penny Crusher people, right? Whoever
Dear
makes them.
Dear
Penny Crushers Corporation.
Inc.
Can you tell me how much it would cost to get a penny crusher machine with these dies? And we would have one that would have both of our faces, and we'd have one that says Sportsy Talk,
right.
And we'd have one with the WFMU cow and dog, right?
Yep.
And we'd have like, and then...
Maybe my butt on one.
Yeah, your butt. Okay, that's four.
I mean,
four.
That's my best quality.
Okay, so that's
it's
four.
Better than even my face.
All right, so that's four. So that's four pictures. So then, and then... When people gave money to Sportsy Talk during the marathon, we would like crush a penny for them. For every we'd have it set up in the phone room, and as the pledges
you would hear
people crank it because it cranks. It makes this great noise when it cranks.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I like this idea.
Right. So all we have to do is figure out how much that's going to cost, and then when Ken says no, we have to do a Kickstarter and get the money that way.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
I think we could. I think that'd be really cool, and
we'd
just be
have
crushing
to
pennies.
Be very convincing. Who, Ralphine wants to know which train won the subway race at the Yankee game?
Oh, Ralphine.
The
you
six.
Know.
Six?
No.
Five? Four?
No.
Four.
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 The four.
It's the four, the
train.
B, and the D.
And it was the four train one, and I've never heard people boo the train race. It's an animated thing that they show in the Jumbotron.
They booed
at
loudly.
Games. They booed. They booed when the four won. They booed it.
The four was actually pretty good because I had ridden the 2-3 up to a station and then taken the 4-1 stop.
Yeah.
And then on the way home, they were like, "Oh, there's something going on." So like the 2-3 is not working. So I rode the 4 train all the way back home, and it was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, well,
it was nice and easy.
You could get all the way down to Fulton Street on the 4.
I did. I got off at City Hall and walked around and bought some beer, cried. I was in the fetal position for a while.
Why do you do that?
I just, you know, it's part
we
of
had
my
a nice time.
I had
a
great time.
Day,
I had
right?
a great time.
It was
yeah,
really great.
Was great.
It was a great game. On Saturday was at the Yankees. It was good. The Yankees played the Tampa Bay Rays, And the Yankees scored two in the first inning, and then nobody scored anything. And
I think they were hungover.
Yeah, and then nobody scored. And I was nervous because I'm always nervous that they're not going to score anything, and then the ninth inning, Tampa Bay is going to score three and win. And what happened was Tampa Bay scored two, and they tied it.
They did. They tied it in the ninth.
Yeah, in the ninth.
On Dylan Betances.
Yeah.
It was Kiermaier, I think. He's pretty good, center fielder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's all
right. Right.
And it went. I think it went right into somebody's beer because it was all you saw was like beer flying in every direction.
Yeah, yeah. It was a home run.
And then there was a walk-off. It was a second walk-off in a row for the Yankees.
Yeah, and it was a bunt. It was a walk-off bunt. It was really good. So
they made a screwy play at first, and then they put in a pinch runner.
Yeah,
Teixeira
hit a double. Teixeira hit a double and got onto second, and they took him off and they put in a pinch runner. And then that guy Chris Young got on. I think he walked to first.
Because I watched the last inning again to see if we were on TV, and we weren't.
Oh, we weren't. No. And then Raymond Flores came up, and when the bleacher guys do the call,
cheering for everybody,
where they cheer everybody, they go like Mark Teixeira. And then,
they have one for everybody.
They have one for everybody. They got to Ramon Flores, and they didn't know his first name. Knew his first name. They went, Flores.
Flores.
Flores. They didn't know his first name. But now they know because Ramon Flores got up, and he bunted.
Bunted.
And
dude made a screwy throw to first.
Chris Young, the batter before him, showed bunt, too. And everybody was like, why are you
bunting? He tried to bunt once, and then he ended up walking.
So then Ramon Flores got up and he bunted, and then the first baseman messed it all up, and I think it was an error. I don't know. I think it was an error on their first.
It was
baseman,
an error.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And this guy, the fast
and
guy,
the fast
Pirella,
guy, just he just tore.
Came all the way around.
Came all the way around. Came home. Hooray!
Yay!
It was very exciting. It was a quick game. I didn't have to leave before it was over to go to the stupid dinner party.
And you made lots of delicious cookies for me. That
oh,
was
I
delicious.
Did make cookies. Yeah. Yeah, I like to make Wonderful. Cookies. They were salted caramel, coconut, shortbread cookies.
Delicious.
Good. I'm glad you liked
them. They were yummy.
Didn't you give one to your significant roommate?
I gave one to Ben.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The U.S. women shatter TV ratings record for soccer with World Cup win.
Speaking of shattering, did we finish talking about Jason Pierre-Paul's hand, or do you want to go ahead?
I think his hand's going to be okay. It was disappointing because initially they were like, his hand blew up, and maybe his hand's gone, and maybe he doesn't have any hand anymore.
It'd be great if he had a hook.
If he had a hook, that'd be awesome.
That would be so amazing, yeah. I mean, he's a defensive lineman. He could just, like, clobber people. He could have, like, a solid, gold hand, like Jamie Lannister or somebody.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
Big fake hand.
20 million, some 17 million American viewers tuned in to the 7 p.m. start of the game, and the number quickly grew to 28.186 million an hour later, and 22.86 million...
See,
later.
Show sports on cheap broadcast TV, and you'll get an audience.
Well, and because the women had won the hearts of all of American sports fans.
Had they?
Everywhere. Yeah, well, that's bigger numbers than the World Series right there.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's like combined bigger numbers than the World Series.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, 201-209-9368 is the number to call if you'd like to talk to us.
We also have
something.
Drew Adams of the New York Lizards.
Yeah, he's not
Lizards.
Calling.
He
was supposed to call
he's
last
confirmed.
Week. He's not. He didn't he confirm last week?
I don't know
I threw
the answer
away,
to that.
I threw away all my interview notes, so now
Drew
I have
Adams
nothing
is the
to
goalkeeper
ask him.
Of the...
I don't know. He's not going to call.
Look how nice he is. Look, he's got like a Captain
nice.
America.
He was supposed to call last week.
He's going to call.
He's not going to call.
He's a professional lacrosse player for the Long Island Lizards. They're in first place. They've
it's
clinched.
The New York Lizards.
What did I say?
They used to be called the Long Island.
They haven't
Island
updated
Lizards.
His
changed,
wizard. They haven't updated his wizard.
His lizard,
Wikipedia page.
His lizard Wikipedia.
The New York Lizards. He played collegiately at Penn State. He was an All-American three times. He's plays for Team USA lacrosse. He's a goalie. He's unbelievable. He's the MLL.
Fancy. He's very fancy.
Defensive Player of the Week.
That would be Major
he
League Lacrosse.
He might be calling. He might be calling.
He might, or he might not.
I hope he calls. He's a cool
Jason
guy.
Jason Pierre-Paul might call.
I was watching
Derek
the game.
Jeter might call. Anybody might call.
4th of July is kind of a
209-9368.
I don't know what
call.
The ratings for the lacrosse was this weekend, but like I was watching
Terrible.
Thursday night because
they
played.
What channel was it on?
It was on MSG Plus.
Boohoo Sad Lacrosse Channel.
No, I don't think that would be the name of it.
That's the name of the sad channel.
That was MSG Plus.
Yeah,
and
same
so they
thing.
Showed it live.
That's what I said.
And it was the Chesapeake BayHawks versus the New York Lizards.
Yeah.
And Drew Adams, there was like at one point there was like it was pretty much him, and the entire BayHawks team was on the field, and then there was like two guys helping him. and he like saved like 20 goals in a row, and he basically the game hinged on him just stopping the ball. I think they call it a ball. I would call it a rock because that thing is hard as rock. Here's the. Are you looking for French disco?
Over here? Yeah, give me that. Thanks.
So Drew Adams may be calling today.
Maybe.
I'm sure he's a delightful person.
You know how I am with people. You know how I get.
You're delightful. What are you talking
about? You
know
how I get. I get angry.
You get great. Why are you angry?
Because that guy didn't call us.
He forgot.
Uh-huh.
He got. It was probably my fault.
It was not your
fault. I blame
me. It was not. I don't blame you.
He's a busy man. He's a goalie. When he's in the zone,
yeah,
he can't be making phone calls. And
Do you think the Japanese goalie was drugged in the World Cup?
Maybe, because that goal at half. Well, because we were talking about the miracle on ice.
Yeah, right.
And I had always heard that the Russians believed that they had been secretly drugged, and the goalie had been secretly drugged. That's how Team USA won the gold medal. They didn't win the gold medal against them. I think they won a game to get to the gold medal through the Russian, which like the Russian hockey team was like the greatest hockey team of all time.
Yep.
And somehow we beat them, but I think by drugging them. And so maybe we drugged
the Japanese
because we had that like goals in 20 minutes.
Well, that one goal that Carly
she kicked
Ledger,
it from the
yards or
you
something.
You can't
like
even do
that
in a video game.
I know.
I mean, that's
half,
just ridiculous.
It was like half the length of the field, and they just went right in.
I mean, she is a superstar now.
Yeah,
I mean,
not like of course she
Mia
is.
Hamm, okay, you know, some of these other guys, but like Carly Lloyd is like could be present.
Yep.
Just let her run. Go. Sorry. If you're going to score three goals, that's all she has to promise. Three goals every game. That's it.
She said she had a dream where she scored four. She went in
she
thinking.
She almost scored five.
I know. She went in thinking that she was going to score four. She believed when she went in because she had this dream. She said it was so real. She knew going in she was going to score four goals.
You couldn't even score that goal.
And she scored
like
three.
You couldn't even if you were trying. Like most people don't even try that like little, I'm going to kick it over the goalie's head thing. Like that lady, I'm surprised that the Japanese goalie didn't just take herself out. I would have just walked out of the place right then.
Yeah. Because
that's just about the worst feeling in the world. I felt pretty bad for the Japanese
team.
Well,
what else could she do? I mean, you know, it's not like.
Nothing.
I mean, I know they have.
You're supposed to stay on your line.
They rotated goalies through. The Japanese team had different goalies in almost every game. Like
I don't think she can go back to Japan. Like I think she's going to have to stay. Stay.
Hey, you know
in
who's
Canada.
Lucky?
Yeah.
Laura Bassett, the English team.
Oh, what happened with her?
She made the own goal, and so they lost.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, they would have gone through and beaten Japan, and they lost because of her own goal. And she's lucky that she doesn't live in Colombia. That's all.
Well, because it's in Colombia, there was a guy who scored an own goal.
Yeah, Andres Escobar.
And then they got him in the street.
1994. Yeah, they shot him down.
Yeah, it was like, it was no joke.
He scored an own goal in the World Cup.
And it was
they killed him.
Yeah.
He was a nice guy.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was there a 30 for 30 about him or something like that?
No, I don't know.
Like an ESPN
There was
a thing about the Colombian soccer team. Yeah. No, it was a super bummer.
Because,
I think they should figure out a way to make own goals not go in. Like, so if there's a force field and that you had kicked
deflects.
It and it would just deflect.
Yeah.
Because that just is terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
No one should be responsible for that.
No, it's a horrible thing.
And the U.S. got one against them, too, at one point. I think that Kristen Johnson actually accidentally put one in during the...
Yeah, it's true. Yep.
That was a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
But she's good. I mean, defense was the best part of the team.
Yeah, the defense
was spectacular.
And then
Carly Lloyd went wild and scored a bunch of goals.
The defense, the U.S. women's team, had only given up one goal the entire World Cup tournament up until
that
last
Solo
game.
Hope Solo was pretty good.
Yeah. She's a domestic violence, bad abuser person, but she's a great goalie.
Yeah. I mean, I could sort of compartmentalize.
Whatever.
That's fine.
Yeah, a lot of, football
whatever.
Fans
yeah,
do
I mean,
that. Why shouldn't
get
in
line.
Women's soccer fans?
Whatever. There's no video.
Whatever. It's okay.
There's no video, right?
Yeah, we don't know.
Oh, so fine. Yeah. Nobody has a picture or an image of it. So there you go. But, I mean, that was cool. I'm glad that... I mean, it seems stupid that every 4 years, the women blow the top off the joint, and then it's like there's no momentum taken out of it. Now, Fox has agreed this year to play 10, like on Sunday, 10 regular games of, like, the women's soccer league.
Fox or Fox Sport 27 or whatever.
That is a good question.
Some channel.
I think it's Fox.
Really?
Because most of these players play for... This women's, I don't know what they call it now, the women's soccer league in America.
Yeah.
It's been called a bunch of, it was the...
National Women's something league.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No. It's the NLSA or something like that.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of letters in it, in its acronym. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
League.
League.
A league of their own.
It's just a league.
I don't know. National Women's Soccer League was launched in 2013, but there used to be a couple different other leagues.
Yeah, NWSL. Okay.
NWSLA of America?
Hmm.
I don't know. But they're going to hopefully show some games. And if it's on Fox Sports 1, no one's going to watch, and the ratings are going to be terrible.
Yeah, then they'll say, didn't NBC was showing, like, English Premier League for a while?
Yeah, they did okay. Yeah, they did okay. I mean, they choose, like, the one big game where maybe people, you know, it's like Manchester United or, you know, Arsenal or Chelsea or something like that. Yeah. It's not like the chumpy teams. Nobody wants to watch them. You just pick, like, five or six teams that are always good.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Yeah, Liverpool's good.
I like Tottenham, but they're kind of on the edge of being good.
Man City.
Yeah, they got bought by some, they got bought by some sheik. That's
okay.
Why they're good. It's exactly 6:25, so this could be Drew
this
Adams.
This could be Drew Adams. WFMU, you're on the air with Sportsy Talk.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Fine, who's this?
Drew Adams.
Yay!
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing? How was your game against the BayHawks?
That was an awesome game against the BayHawks.
Yeah, it was a nail biter, but it worked out in our favor, so it was good. Everyone was happy.
Well, you kind of like at the end of the first. So there's like the end of the second quarter. Like they threw out one of the lizards, and then there was another guy in the penalty box. And then you basically stood on your head and stopped like 5,000 goals from happening. And it was like incredibly tense. And it was like, oh, my gosh, like who knows what's going to happen? And there was like only one goal difference at that point. And it really like in that sequence, like you guys just like that was the game right there, basically. So,
yeah, you know, it was a big momentum swing for us. I felt like right at that point when we had a player ejected, we were two men down going into the half.
Wow.
You know, the momentum was totally in their favor, so it was nice for us to be able to have a few plays go our way. We made a few good stops, and then Kevin Understein went down and scored a goal with maybe a second or two left on the clock, and we ran into the locker room, you know, right after that. So it really swung the momentum for us going, going into the second half there.
Well, you guys had a lot to play for. You had gone 8 games without a loss, and then 2 tough losses. And then you were kind of battling there, you know, at that point in the second quarter. And then it was like it really felt like the momentum swung in your favor. And then I think you guys clinched a playoff spot, so congratulations. And you were the MLL Defensive Player of the Week is what I heard.
That's what they've told me. I don't know
good.
How much truth there is.
That's pretty
that.
Cool, though.
That's
maybe
great.
Tomorrow, but
that's awesome.
That is what I've heard.
How big a crowd do you get at MLL games? You know?
It varies. I think there was close to 12,000 at the game this past weekend down in Annapolis.
That's pretty good.
For our home games at Hofstra, we get anywhere from 5,000 to 8,000, I would say, is our normal attendance.
That's pretty good.
So, you know, we do our best to promote it. We get a lot of local families that come out and support us, and some that travel from New Jersey, Pennsylvania to come see us as well. We have a great fan base, and you know, although we're not getting tens of thousands of fans at every game, the fans that are there are incredibly supportive.
No, you just see you like when they pan the crowd, it's all kids with sticks, and I'm like, oh,
yeah,
man, that's so cool.
it really is. Our fan base demographic is probably, you know, kids from 12 to 17, 18. You know, they love coming out and watching the games, and it's great because they'll bring their families, their moms and dads, their brothers, sisters along with them. You know, so we couldn't be more excited to have them there supporting us.
Yeah, I was more familiar with the college game. I have to confess, I didn't even know there was a professional lacrosse league. No,
you're not the first. Don't worry.
Right. So, and I know you were a real star in college
at
Penn State, right? And did you, when you were in college, did you look to being a professional lacrosse player? Was that kind of your goal always?
No, not necessarily. The league was founded in 2001, so I graduated college in 2009, so I was, you know, aware of the league and how it worked and had been following it for a number of years. And, you know, for most guys, just the playing part of what we do isn't our full-time job because the salary is not high enough. So a lot of us, you know, supplement our incomes as coaches or teachers or a profession totally unrelated to lacrosse. So when I was in school, you know, I always kind of thought it would be nice to be able to play professionally, but I knew it was never going to be the end all and be all what I did professionally. So, you know, it was always something that if it worked out, that would be excellent. If it didn't, you know, I would go down another career path. But, you know, I've been able to play and stay involved in the lacrosse world full time, so it works well for me.
Well, you're the goalkeeper you're the main goalkeeper for Team USA as well, is that correct?
Yeah, there's two of us in the past World Games. We kind of split time throughout. They go every 4 years, so there's a nice little break until the next games in 2018.
And were you always a goalkeeper, or did you play offensive or defensive positions before becoming a kid? Because being a goalkeeper seems incredibly difficult. You're really just wearing, like, shorts, and someone's, like, hucking a rock at you from, like, point blank.
It's kind of crazy. So I started off actually as an attackman, so on the offensive end of the field, and played goalie in hockey growing up. And eighth grade, our goalie on the lacrosse team had an injury. And they kind of looked around.
Here's the giant stick.
I played hockey. I raised my hand, and the rest was kind of history. Never looked back.
No, because it really is like you get like a wider net. Maybe you get like a kind of a butterfly net looking like thing, and then people just huck this ball at you. It's got to be like 150 miles an hour. And it's like,
it's
my
crazy.
God!
I sometimes, question my sanity when I'm in there. Well, and you don't wear nearly as many pads as you do in hockey, so it hurts a lot more when you get hit with the ball, that's for sure.
Well, do you have an injury on your leg? Because it looks like you have like a bandage on maybe your left leg or something like that.
Yeah, I had taken a nice shot off the cast the weekend prior in Florida and was still, feeling that, have a nice bruise.
Man.
So I made sure I wrapped it up so I didn't re-injure it or get hit there again.
So you mentioned like playing in Annapolis and playing in Florida. Are most of the teams on the eastern half of the U.S.? I mean, you travel around.
Well, Boston's a big team, and Denver's a big team.
Oh, Denver's not in the eastern.
Yeah, Denver's the furthest west.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the only team out west. The Midwest, there's a team in Ohio, the Ohio Machine.
right.
They play outside of Columbus, and then all the other teams, for the most part, are on the East Coast, Florida, Boston, mm-hmm. Chesapeake, Rochester, New York, mm-hmm. and Charlotte.
And the season's like about 4 months long, is that right?
Yeah, it runs from end of April, and then the championship game, if you make it, is the second week of August.
Yeah, it's in Georgia someplace this year.
Yeah, it's in Georgia. So Georgia is a market that they're exploring putting a team in next year or 2 years from now. So they've had the championship game down there last year and then this year as well to try to see
and
try to gauge the interest and the fan base down there.
Yeah, because there's nothing like Georgia in August. It's like 120 degrees.
I know, right? They're talking about Georgia and Houston, Texas.
Oh my
the hotter places you can be in August. So.
Don't they have domed stadiums or something?
Maybe they let us play down in whatever Jerry's World is in Dallas, but I doubt that's going to happen.
That would be super cool.
That'd
be
awesome.
In the big house or something like that. I'm curious.
Be cool.
There was like a little fisticuffs during the game, but I mean, are there ever goalie fights in lacrosse? Probably not, right?
Not that I've seen or been a part of. It's not like hockey where they kind of meet at center ice.
And it's like, hey, it's on. I got to take you down, right?
Yeah, there's no fighting in outdoor lacrosse. In the indoor game, the box league, you can drop the gloves and fight. But outside, there's a lot of pushing, shoving, and trash talk, but there's no actual fighting allowed.
Well, you just can basically, some of these defensive players can just beat you with the stick. Like, I mean, there was like, I was like, what's a cross check? If you like, you could just hit the guy up in the shoulders, especially. You could just kind of like beat the guy up in the shoulders. Like, no, like over and over and over again. I'm like going, oh my God, like this is the hardest sport in the world.
Yeah, you got to be tough to play. That's for sure. Especially at our level in college, mm-hmm. the rules are a little bit tighter. They're a lot more strict in terms of stick checks. But in the MLL, you pretty much have free will to hit someone until it's really deemed unnecessary. So guys finish games and their arms are black and blue for days.
Wow. So when's your next game in out at Hofstra on Long Island? Do you know?
Next game is on Thursday evening. We play the Denver Outlaws.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
And it'll be a big game. They're always a rival of ours. We lost to them in the playoffs last year.
Right. And then I think they ended up winning the whole thing. So. That'll be a great.
It'll be a good rematch for us.
So, our listeners who are out in Long Island or want to go to Long Island,
out now. Yeah, get tickets at go to Google, look up New York Lizards, and buy some tickets. I've been watching them on MSG Plus, and really been enjoying watching you play, especially because you were going to be on the air. But like the games have just been really exciting, actually, and I've been enjoying watching. I know that lacrosse is like they run a commercial over and over again that says it's the fastest growing sport in America, and I hope that's true because I think the more people that watch it, the more people will enjoy it, and especially because it can be a real nice day out for the family and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a great event. You know, we have a good product, and for those that are familiar with the sport, it's nice. But those that aren't and come to see a game for the first time, it's exciting to watch, and it's economical for the family to come to a game and spend some time. So, you know, the more people we can see out there, the better.
Okay, sounds like fun. I hope we see you out at Hofstra. Or
yeah, I'll try to make it out there.
In the championships.
Maybe we can talk to you down the road as you get close. I'm hoping you guys will be in the. I don't want to jinx anything, but I'm hoping you guys will be in the.
Yeah, don't jinx this now.
I hope you're down the road in the playoffs. Maybe we can talk to you again.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
Thanks.
I would love to.
Thanks a lot for calling, Drew. We appreciate
it.
Thanks,
Drew.
Josh. Good luck.
Bye bye.
All right, take care.
You too.
That's Drew Adams. He's the
goalie,
big-time goalie for the New York Lizards.
He's very famous.
He's very famous, very, very accomplished goalie.
Wasn't he nice? All right, I'm sorry I said that.
What, you didn't say anything
bad
about him?
I didn't say anything bad about him. I just said he wasn't going to call, but he did.
He called. He put it in his Google calendar or something, you know.
Yeah, it was good.
I mean, I go back and forth with the publicists, you know.
I know. Well, thank you for that. But no, that was really nice. He was very nice.
He was great.
I would like to go see a lacrosse game.
I've been transfixed watching because all I can think about is like him getting pelted with those. It's like rock, and it's just over and over and over again. People whipping it at you.
Why can't they play someplace closer to, you know?
You have a car. We can drive over there.
I'm not driving to Long Island. Oh my god. I've driven to Long Island a couple of
times.
It'll be fine. I'm not doing it.
We'll get over. Maybe we'll have them pick us up.
Oh yeah, that's right. A limo. Yeah, send a limo to pick up. Bronwyn C. and Jim the Poet. This is Bronwyn C. and Jim the Poet on
Sportsy
Talk on WFMU.
At the top of the hour, it's the Honky Tonk Radio Girl with Becky. She'll be playing Honky Tonk Radio songs.
So she says.
She does a great job. She's got a great show.
Hey, we had a listener email us and complain that we didn't cover something that he wanted to hear us cover on Sportsy Talk. And we don't have to say who or what, but I'm just going to say, if you would like us to talk about something sports-related, all you have to do is call us, 201-209-9368, and tell us what you'd like to talk about.
We'll talk
to you about it.
Well, I would say
whatever.
I emailed the guy back because he was upset we didn't talk last week about NYCFC versus Red Bull soccer.
Yeah, I didn't get your a copy of your reply to him.
Oh, my reply was, sorry.
Oh, okay. That's all right.
You know.
Like my reply would have been, why didn't you call us and ask us to talk about it? Just call 201-209-9368. It's not
that I'll also say that like the Red Bull NYCFC, NYCFC needs like a nickname, like the Dudes or the Highlanders
or
something.
Sky Blue is what they're calling themselves,
that's
I think.
Awful.
I know.
That's terrible,
right? Sky
Blue. Don't do that.
Sky Blue.
But I'm saying like it's such an early part of the fight for New York on the on the male soccer. And male soccer's okay. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the lady soccer now, obviously.
Yes, obviously.
I'm in love with every player.
You know what I was really disappointed about that USA won? I wanted the whole team to take their shirts off this time.
Oh, they didn't do that.
No. In 90...
That was amazing.
The last time they won, 91, right? Brandi Chastain ripped off her shirt.
She ripped it off, but she got in a lot of trouble.
No, she didn't. I thought that was awesome.
She got hassled. I thought it was awesome.
It was great. She was really excited. It was fine. It was in the moment. It wasn't like... So I just wanted the whole team to do that this time. I thought that would be good.
I think they give you a yellow card now if you take your shirt off. Anybody takes it. I don't know what it is in the women's game, but if you take your shirt off as a part of a, or if you flash it up like you have something written there like Jim the Poet rules or something like that, you get like a yellow card.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. All right.
It's
well,
too much
I should've known that then.
Stuff.
They did have a Mountie. Canadian Mountie carrying out the World Cup.
I should have kept watching.
Oh, you should have. It was awesome. They had this whole trophy presentation where
Robert Palmer ladies were there.
Addicted
to Love ladies were there.
Yeah, there was some like hot backup singing group in tight black dresses that came out. And Sluggo said, why don't they have the cast of Magic Mike on because if it's for ladies, you know? And I said, because they're being respectful of the team's sexual preference. You know? I think the U.S. women's team is the most out team in sports, aren't they? I
mean, there was a number of players that
they're very out, and it's fine.
I mean, a lot of them didn't
totally
feel like
fine
they,
with it.
Didn't Why, feel like they had to say anything about it. Or
no, but
like
they don't have to. They don't have to. You know, that's the thing. It's not.
I love them all. I love them all.
They're all wonderful
individually.
Wonderful.
And
so this Mauti was carrying like the actual World Cup was being carried by because the. Playoffs, you know, the game, the World Cup,
it was in Canada.
Fake grass. Yeah,
they can't grow real grass, so they have to have
Vancouver's
fake grass?
Very lush and
Apparently
amazing.
Not.
I don't know why. Okay,
let's say fake grass.
So this Mountie's carrying the World Cup, and I'm looking at it, and I was like, oh my God, it's Lady Do Right. It was like a Lady Mountie. It was like they have women Mounties now, which I never thought about, but
of course they do.
Of course they do, right? But she had on the whole kit, you know, like the weird hat.
Well, that's the whole point of being a Mountie, is you get the awesome
and
thing
outfit.
On.
Yeah, and you get to ride around on a horse.
I mean, Mounties always get their man.
Yeah.
Or woman.
It was great. I thought that was so cool. And then they had like three different trophies, and they just kept calling Carly Lloyd up to get another trophy and another trophy and another trophy.
She got a lot of
trophies. She deserved them.
She scored a lot of goals.
That was cool.
That was insane.
It was a great game.
I also watched on. I got home and had taped the hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July.
Oh right, and we had a guest on. We had Crazy Legs Conti.
Crazy Legs Conti was in the mix, but he wasn't in the final.
He didn't get very close. Yeah, but he was a guest on our show.
Hot dogs is not his.
He's a competitive eater. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. It's in the archive if you want to hear it. Crazy Legs Conti.
He was delightful.
His specialty is he said is things where it takes more manual dexterity, like lobsters or oysters, or things where you have to kind of.
He's big on oysters. Yeah, he likes.
Yeah, to like
everybody's got their own.
Yeah.
But Joey Chestnut had won 8 in a row. He was going for 9.
He was the reigning champion of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Untouchable. He was an unmovable force in hot dogs.
Coney Island.
And
he
got beat by a guy named Matt Stoney.
Matt Stoney is.
Who ate 62 dogs. So 62 for Matt Stoney, 60 for Joey Chestnut. But it was incredibly tense.
Really?
And it was like, I never, because most of the ones that I'd watched that were just complete blowouts, like that Kobayashi had kind of reinvented how to do it, and then Joey Chestnut overtook him and beat him a bunch of times, and then no one had ever come in close to, like, the Eater X, I think, had been second or third a bunch of times with, like, 50 dogs, which is still a lot of dogs. I mean, that's an outstanding amount of hot dogs.
Can I just say, now that we don't have a guest on right now.
We don't.
We don't have a competitive eating guest on. Can I just say I don't get it?
You don't get competitive eating.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me
it's
to be
more like a stunt, isn't it?
I mean, it's just like
you're just jamming stuff down your.
I think chess is a sport because it's like a brain. You know,
chess is a game.
Yeah. Well, it's a sport because
it's not a sport. It's a game.
Yeah, I mean, if you have like, if you're sweating, you know, you.
If you're sweating, it's a sport.
Well, you're doing something with your body, competitive with your body.
I don't think chess is a sport. Chess is not a sport. Is checkers a sport?
No,
is Parcheesi a sport? Is Sorry a sport?
Sorry is a great sport.
Scrabble. Is Scrabble a sport?
Scrabble
How about Boggle?
Sport.
How about apples to apples?
I like Scrabble better than Boggle.
Yeah, everybody does.
Boggle's just, because the letters are upside down. Yeah. I can't read that.
Oh, you can't?
No, I mean, it's an upside down letter.
How do you do on those, on you know, on the path train where they have the scramble word things?
Oh, I never get the word
really?
In scramble. No, I'm always like, what? CK? What's happening?
I'm sorry.
I need an extra second because it's always hard.
It's never hard.
They should make those easier.
They are easy.
They just make me feel dumb.
Simple.
I feel like a dumb person.
You're not a dumb person. You're very smart. You're
I'm
a wonderful
not that smart.
Writer.
I can't unscramble.
Okay.
Very quickly.
Well, okay.
But I feel like the competitive eating is a sport because you're using your. I mean, that's to be able to eat 60 dogs.
That's
is
a
like,
stunt.
That's outstanding.
It's a stunt.
But I love stunts.
All right. Well, like you can love it, and
like
you can.
Like those David Blaine things where you used to, you're up in a cage for a week. I think that's an incredible spectacle, an incredible sport that I love.
It's not
like
a sport.
Watching. You're just starving. You're
it's
asking people
a
for
sport.
Throw you a sandwich.
It's not starving in a cage for a week is not a sport.
Well, he always goes like clubbing. Like he just like pulls a blanket over and then he disappears and he reappears downtown and goes clubbing and goes to the movies or something.
It's not a sport.
If you had heard, this is from Ralphine,
one of the great listeners on the thing.
Yes. Says if you had heard the announcers on ESPN covering the hot dog eating contest, you would know that it's a sport. Well, because Sun, we had heard from George Shea was the guy. I don't know if you watched it. He's like the Carnival Barker guy who does really elaborate introductions, and I think his son is one of the announcers on the thing, and he's just as good. Like he's just terrific. And I don't know if they're all written down for him and stuff like that, but he's got nicknames for everybody, and it was incredibly good. So,
no.
I love it. And congratulations to Matt Stoney.
Congratulations to Matt Stoney,
Chestnut,
the new champion.
You know, next year maybe he'll have a better chance. And he was gracious in losing.
201-209-9368 if you want to talk about Pat McAfee American Ale.
Oh yeah,
The first beer named after an NFL punter.
I forgot we were going to try
we
to get.
We are the Punter Appreciation Society.
Well, next week we're supposed to have on a kicker. I don't think there's any punters in arena football.
But there's a kicker in arena football.
There's a kicker, and he's for the Philadelphia Soul. His name is, why am I blanking out right now?
I don't know.
Oh, Tommy Freevert.
Freevert. I was going to say it sounds like Prevert, but it's Freevert.
It's Freevert.
Okay.
I believe.
Tommy Freevert.
I'll get the pronunciation
we'll
correct by then.
Yeah.
But he's the kicker, and I think you do double duty.
Yeah.
You kick and field goals, you're kicking whatever.
Kick everything.
I'm going to find out.
Okay.
And then
We'll find out from Tommy when he calls.
Tommy's going to call next week.
Okay, cool.
And then we should get Pat McAfee.
We should get some of that. I will write to the brewery.
You going to write to him?
I will write to the brewery.
Okay.
And I'll say, will you send this son to review on the air?
Yeah, that because we would do that.
Because Pat McAfee is the punter for the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts. It's a very nice guy.
Is he?
Yes. He has, a foundation.
We talked to two punters the last time.
Everybody has a foundation. All the punters are very nice.
We talked to the Colquitt, and we talked to the...
The other one.
Other guy.
Yeah, we talked to them.
They were nice during the Super Bowl.
The punters are very nice. Yeah, when we went to Media Day that time. That one time that it was in New Jersey.
That one time we were able to go.
We're never going to go again.
It's never going to be invited.
Well, we could go. I mean, if we could pay our way to, wherever they're going to have it, we could go again, I'm sure.
It's like in... I mean, it's at the Rose Bowl, I think, this coming year or something.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up. Or it's
San
Diego or Phoenix.
Do we know anybody in California?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I don't.
Well, I don't either.
And no one who likes
me. I know some people.
I know some people who don't like me.
Oh. Well, we don't
some people I owe money to in
We don't
want to
stay there.
I think it's in San Diego.
Okay.
Maybe not.
That's
I'm going to look
that up.
It's
the Rose Bowl. What?
It's Super Bowl L, by the way.
Oh, it is?
No, they're calling it Super Bowl 50, but it should be Super Bowl L.
Okay, Super Bowl L is happening.
Super Bowl 50 is in Levi's Stadium in Santa
Where's
Clara.
Where's that? Santa Clara? Where's Santa, that?
That's where the 49ers play.
Well, that's San Francisco then, right?
It's Santa Clara. South of San Francisco.
Okay, but it's like not.
Santa Clara is a great town.
Is it?
Maybe.
Do we know anybody there?
I get it confused with Santa Cruz, I think.
Yeah, I think you do.
I think Santa Clara might have a boardwalk and a roller coaster.
I don't think it does.
That might be Santa Cruz.
I think it's someplace else.
That's a nice new stadium, though.
Okay, well, so is that where we're going to
go? It is the golden anniversary of the Super Bowl. Therefore, it is in the gold rush town of the San Francisco Bay Area, Levi's Stadium.
Anyway, Pat McAfee's a punter, and he has worked with some brewery to develop some beer to his very special tastes. It's an ale, and it's called American Ale, M-E-R-I-C-A-N. Pat McAfee, American Ale.
Union Pat McAfee's American Ale.
Yeah, and when I first saw it, and I thought it said Mexican. And I was like, why has he got Mexican ale? What's a Mexican ale? It sounded really interesting.
It gets a 14 out of 20 on this Rate a Beer website.
Well, that's not so bad.
I mean, it looks decent. Undercarbonated, though.
Oh, yeah, undercarbonated.
Cloudy orange with a very thin lacing.
Okay.
It smells hoppy with a moderately bittersweet backbone.
Well, I'd like that.
Tastes
I like hoppy
like
beer.
It smells.
Yeah, that
with
sounds
an
good.
Undercarbonated, medium-bodied mouthfeel.
I like a little more
carbonation.
It's a
solid beer, even if it is undercarbonated. This person's really...
About the undercarbonation, huh?
And they're in from Indiana, so they would know.
Absolutely, they would know.
Yay! It's Becky.
Becky, Honky Tonk Radio Girl, coming up at 7. But you still have, 13 minutes...
To call us. If you're a punter...
Or if you drink, if you have...
If you brew your own beer.
If you brew your own beer, if you've had Pat McAfee American Ale, you could call us.
Call us.
What else?
All right, here we go. Ajax writes, Santa Clara, Levi's Stadium, Santa Cruz, Boardwalk, Santa Claus, racist. So there, that just...
I think that explains it all.
Well, now.
Is there anything else we can say about Jason Pierre-Paul's hand?
I wanted there to be one picture of it online.
He was holding some... I haven't seen any pictures. If you have pictures of
Jason
Pierre...
He had feeling in one of his... But I got no feeling in half of my body, so
that's
fine.
Well, that's because you drink all the time. He just has... Yeah, he burned his hand really badly. They're not going to have to amputate anything. So he's not going to have a hook. So it's not going to be that cool. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to find it. This says the Giants pulled their offer to Jason Pierre-Paul after fireworks injury.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, he hadn't signed it. They were going to make him the franchise player, right?
Oh, my God.
He had the $60
million.
Yes, franchise tender. And he hadn't signed it, and he hadn't shown up for some things, you know, some optional training things this spring. He was blowing them off, and he was holding out, and he was saying he was worth more money, and now he can't. He didn't sign it. Now he can't sign it because he can't hold a pen anymore because his hand is gone. So he's going to have to like sign things with a pencil held between his teeth.
This is the Sports Illustrated is reporting that the New York Giants have pulled a $60 million long-term contract offer to defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul.
You dummy.
Pierre-Paul injured his hand in a fireworks incident in Florida on Saturday and reportedly remains hospitalized on Monday.
Yep.
He's reported to have severe burns on his palm and tips of three fingers, with one finger being tested for nerve damage. Rappaport reports that Pierre-Paul was not expected to accept the offer prior to the accident and appears set to play on the $14.8 million franchise tag the Giants gave him in March. So they still get $14 million, but like $60 million is better than $14
million. Yeah.
You don't need, what do you need your hand for if you're sacking people 12 and a half times a year?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're just tackling guys. You don't need a hand.
You don't need a hand.
Just get them with your, just chop it off and get them with your stump. I mean, you don't need a hand.
Stumpy.
Whack them with your stump. And that's what, kids, if you're growing up to be a football player, just whack him with your stump.
That's our advice. That's Coach Poet there. Coach Jim the Poet telling you
my
the truth.
My goodness. So I hope Jason Pierre-Paul gets better. I mean,
I was expecting listener Danny D to call with some NASCAR crash.
He might have been
late. Did you hear about that crash, though?
Well, it happened in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
I mean,
some NASCAR, the Firecracker 400 or something.
No, it was the Coca-Cola 400. It's like on Daytona. That's like a
Daytona. It was a Daytona
big thing.
Okay, so it was on the Daytona track. It was something, but they had rain, so they didn't start the race until midnight.
I turn the channel because I usually have it on NBC to wake up with because I love seeing Matt Lauer before I've had coffee every morning. That gets me going.
Attractive.
It was like they hadn't started the race yet. So what did they have, like three and a half hours of coverage?
Rain coverage. And then they finally started the race. And then in the middle of the night, like 3 a.m, this guy's car flips over.
So Danny D may be tired.
Yeah, he's probably.
And I think Dale Earnhardt won the race.
Yeah, I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care about
Rory McIlroy hurt his ankle playing
people
soccer.
People only watch this. Somebody sat through 3 hours of rain coverage just because they wanted to see a car blow up. So they
happened
to give
at 2 a.m.
I know. They had to
like
give
that.
Them a blown up car because they waited so
long.
A
blown up car.
They had to blow up a car.
Do you think they have cars that are ready, like it can blow up any car they want?
Yeah, I think they take Jason Pierre-Paul's van full of fireworks and just blew up a car because those people had waited so long to see a car accident. Because that's what people watch that stuff for. That's what I think. Just saying.
Wow.
What?
Rory McIlroy turned his ankle playing soccer with his buddy, so he's not playing golf for a while. His ankle exploded.
Yeah, he's got a boot. He's got crutches. He's defending. Isn't he the British Open?
Yeah, he was the British Open champion.
He's the defending.
Dumped his girlfriend, won the British Open, and now he has no ankle anymore.
He and Tiger Woods can go play miniature golf together now or something.
Tiger Woods is no good anymore.
I know. Neither is Rory McIlroy.
There was a guy at Wimbledon today who freaked out.
Oh, yeah,
in trouble
you were
for
talking
cursing
about that. Yeah, so
I haven't seen the video yet.
Who is he playing? He was what round are they in at Wimbledon now?
Like
the fourth
round where I don't care.
Yeah, the round where nobody cares yet.
I mean, Rafael Nadal got beat by some guy with dreads last week.
Oh, and
so that was pretty big.
Who's the guy who hit the shot between his legs?
Oh, somebody. Like Federer.
Federer, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, Federer hit a lob between it, under his leg. It's just like...
But it's a fortnight, so it takes forever.
Fortnite.
And so Kyrgios, some guy Kyrgios was swearing.
Fortnite.
And the guy see, the only thing I like about tennis when guys are yelling and getting in trouble and stuff like that.
Fortnite.
Well, Wimbledon's a fortnight.
That's 2 weeks.
It's a British term meaning 2 weeks.
It's
the only British people are the only people using it. And they only use it for Wimbledon.
You use it as your poet. Okay, yes.
And then Kyrgios today, he got in trouble for swearing.
Yeah.
And he was yelling at the guy in this little seat, which, those guys are always putzes. Yeah, whatever they're doing.
The
I don't know. They're in the chair being jerks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing a crossword puzzle or something.
Right.
And so he's yelling at that guy, and then he throws a game. Like, he must just start hitting balls over the thing.
He just didn't care anymore.
Didn't care, freaked out, melted down.
He just blew the game.
So I'm gonna have to watch that. Hopefully that'll be on ESPN.
You think it'll be entertaining?
That's the only thing that's the only thing that I find entertaining about tennis is that that's why John McEnroe is the greatest tennis player of all time. Because he would just freak out all the time and yell at people, and that's the only thing that's interesting about tennis.
Mm-hmm.
When you're winning and stuff, that's super boring. And there's no arguing with a computer. A computer says it's out. Well, what are you going
to
do?
What's the name of the Santa city that we have to go to? It's not Santa Cruz. It's the other one.
Santa Clara?
Santa Clara.
Or okay. Santa Claus. The racist town?
The San Diego County Fair.
What about it?
That's in San Diego.
Is
right?
it?
Yeah. They have fried Doritos there. Is
that what you sent me a picture
food.
Of that? That sounds pretty good. San Diego is kind of a lovely place. Were it not overrun by Republicans, San Diego would be one of the most perfect places on earth because, like, the degree to the ground of the sun, like sunlight, is like, unbelievable there. Mm. They have like pelicans that just kind of fly over.
Pelicans, and they have fried Doritos.
They have Gaslight Area, which is just like little place where you can go get drunk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Lovely
Doritos,
lovely tacos, lovely burritos.
You can get drunk any place,
but just overrun by Republicans.
Yeah,
like it's the one.
It's a pretty place though.
One place in California that has Republicans and giant war machines.
They have a Navy base.
They do.
Yeah,
I've been there. They almost shot me.
Why did you go to the Navy base?
There was a wedding.
That's
the naval
wedding
thing.
You told me about.
That was a pretty
good
wedding. That was a good wedding.
Okay. Gotcha.
Then they shot at us.
Then they have the Padres.
Yeah, that's grim.
That's sad.
That is grim action.
This is pretty
Although
sad.
Not as sad as the Knicks. The Knicks blew all their money in the free agency.
Yeah.
And are still just as bad as they were last
they
year.
They got Brook Lopez's identical twin.
His brother who can't shoot.
His identical twin brother who can't play.
So they'll be in like Subway ads and stuff like
Why
that.
Why did the Lopez parents name their boys Brooke and Robin? Those
they
are
wanted
like
girls.
Girls' names.
Wanted girls.
Yeah, that's strange.
Wanted, maybe
it?
Expected girls. Because if you're, while they're doing that thing with the goo and the machine where they can see what the baby's doing on the inside, if you have your legs closed, they don't know what the baby's going to be.
Wait. And if you mean if the baby has its legs closed?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
So you don't know the sex of the baby. Or if you had two of them
Give
in there,
ultrasound?
One of them might have the head where the other junk was. They might be in like the 69 position
they're
or something like that.
They're not doing that.
I mean, I'm not saying they're 69, and I'm just saying they might be in like
I don't think we
a
can
position
talk
where
about
you can't see
the
you just can't see the junk.
Jeez. So you think that the Lopez's thought that they were going to have girls?
Maybe.
And so they picked out the names, and then they had boys, and they didn't care to change.
If your kids are
going to
be 7 foot tall, man, you can call them whatever you want. You can call them Susan. You can call them Nancy. They'll kill you. I mean, they're big people.
Okay.
I mean, they're kind of stonery, happy people.
Yeah, but now we have.
They'll punch you in the face.
So now we have Robin Lopez on the Knicks. That's the deal.
Patrick says, Jim, the best part of the car that blew up was that the NRA sponsored the car. Boom. Did the NRA, do they like explosions too? They must be big on explosions.
I guess so.
Do they cover like bazookas and stuff?
Mm,
blowing up cars?
No, I don't think so. No.
That's too bad.
Nope. You know I shoot, right? You know I have guns, right?
Great. Let's go.
Okay. I'm just saying.
No, you showed me a picture of you with a knife between your teeth and like a machine
gun. I didn't
have
a knife between my
You've gone
teeth.
Out in the woods and like
I
you
did
could
not have
you could like rub two sticks together and make an explosion. Like that's what I find.
Yeah, I could.
You're
blow
practically
up
a ninja.
Did I show you the picture of me killing? Never mind.
Killing what? Killing Jason Pierre-Paul?
No, we had to.
Did you kill somebody for Aaron Hernandez?
No, we had to kill things and eat them.
That sounds.
We had to catch things, kill them, and eat them.
That sounds fine.
It was great.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
if you're hungry enough,
tasty.
You'll do it. Doesn't matter.
I got nothing left on my list here,
except
that I'm brought to you by DJ Listener Cat in Chicago.
Oh yeah, and I'm brought to you by Listener Robert Upstate, right?
Yes.
I guess.
Yes, and Drew Adams was brought to us by the.
Oh yeah, thank you, Drew Adams.
New York Lizards goalie.
And I am now following Tim Tebow on Twitter, and I'm retweeting every time he tweets something like USA, USA, USA.
That's all I write too.
I retweet that because I just think that's genius.
He's a genius.
Tim Tebow. He is a genius. Well, this has been Sportsy Talk. I think we can wrap it up.
We had a good show.
Yeah, we had a great show. We had Drew Adams finally call.
That
was
cool.
Nice. I like him. He was nice.
Yeah, I don't know why you. Yeah,
I don't know.
I know.
I don't know.
I booked the guy.
No, you did a good job. It was great. It was lovely.
Becky is coming up with the Honky Tonk Radio Girl Show.
Yep, I'm going to start.
Stay tuned.
I'm going to start the goodbye music.
Turn your radio up.
That's
now.
The goodbye music.
Thank you for sleeping along with us. Sleeping through the show.
Oh, yeah. Do you think Lori Hill's still asleep?
She's possibly still asleep at
you
this point.
You think she woke up yet? No.
No.
You can listen to us we do have a podcast.
If you want to hear this
you
again.
You can follow us on Twitter. That's a thing you could do, Sportsy Talk. You can, I don't know, what other options do they have?
Listening on the web.
Yeah. The archives. All the shows are archived.
You can make little, you could draw our faces onto your fingers and have us talk to you while you're in the shower.
Yeah, I suggest that. That sounds good. Okay, well, until next week, when Sportsy Talk will be back.
Yeah.
This has been Sportsy Talk on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. I'm Bronwyn C. He's Jim the Poet. Thanks for inviting us into your home tonight, and may God bless.
Yeah.
Listening to WFMU. My name is Becky, and this is Honky Tonk Radio Girl. I'm here every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. playing country records for you. This week is no exception. I just flew in from Tampa, Florida, and boy, are my arms tired. And I got some great records from Florida to play for you today. This is Chet Atkins in the background. This is an album where about half the tracks include his brother singing, so let's avoid those, but him playing guitar is just fabulous. For now, I think we should listen to T-Texas Tyler. You're listening to WFMU.
Let's get married, what you say? Let's don't waste another day. I want to love you like I've loved you in my dreams. Who can live just as cheap as one? And I hear tell it's a lot more fun. Let's build a bungalow and raise us a baseball team. Now, I ain't much on looks, I know, and I ain't all broke out with dough, but my feet are warm, and I don't snore, and I love you like you've never been loved before. Let's get married, sweetie pie, you're the apple of my eye. Be my honey bunny, be my baby doll. You say, let's don't waste another day. I want to love you like I've loved you in my dreams. Who can love just as cheap as one? And I hear tell it's a lot more fun. Let's build a bungalow and raise us a baseball team. I ain't much on looks, I know, and I ain't all broke out with dough, but my feet are warm, and I don't snore, and I love you like you've never been loved before. Let's get married, sweetie pie, you're the apple of my eye. Be my honey bunny, be my baby doll.
Deal, baby.
Ho, ho, good deal, Lucy.